This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
Excited about this morning. Started a message last week called Dream Again. Someone say Dream Again. And I'm going to ask you to help me this morning. You guys already sound fired up, so that's good. But I'm going to ask you to help me this morning as we go. And go ahead and open your Bible with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. I'm going to read it from the Amplified. I'll quote it first, and then I'll read it from the Amplified. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for every person under the sound of my voice. God, I ask that right now, Holy Spirit, I announce my utter dependence upon you, that I can do nothing without you, but that with you and through you, miracles will be done this morning in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you right now for your presence. I thank you, Father, for you coming in and ministering to each and every person with your presence, with your power, in Jesus' name. God, I sense your presence here right now. Church, if you would, just for a moment, why don't we just lift our hands to him? Father, we present ourselves to you. We present ourselves to you. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, casting aside the weights and the sin that so easily entangles us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our, looking unto Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, looking unto Jesus. I believe I heard the Lord say, even now, as you're focusing on him, miracles are happening in Jesus' name. In the Old Testament, there was a snake, a serpent put on a pole. And everybody who had been bitten by snakes and was dying, if they fastened their gaze upon the serpent on a pole, which is a type and shadow of Jesus Christ, who was made sin so that we could be made righteous on the cross, if as long as they focused on him, they were healed and they did not perish. So Father, right now, come on church. Father, right now, we set our attention upon you. Our focus, our gaze, our heart is open, receptive, and it is set upon you, Jesus. Jesus, you're the miracle worker. Hallelujah. Jesus, you're the Savior. You're the deliverer. Hallelujah. You're the dream giver. You're the restorer. Hallelujah. You're the rescuer. Hallelujah. Jesus, our eyes are upon you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. Come on, can you sense his presence here? Hallelujah. It'd be easy for me to go in another direction. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Someone say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I was preparing yesterday, and the Lord reminded me, God gave Jerry Savelle a phrase three to five years ago, and it just was anointed. How many of you know when God breathes on something, it's not just breathed on for a moment, but that it's anointed, it's inspired, and it can bring freedom 17 years later because there's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit. So that's why sometimes you get an old song out. I don't know who I'm talking to or if anybody's going to help me, but sometimes you get an old song out. And you start singing that song, and the presence of God will come in that place. Because the same anointing that was upon that minister who wrote that song is still on that song. Hallelujah. There's no time and there's no distance in the realm of the Spirit. And I just feel like we're gonna have church without rules today. So if we came for a cute little church service, this won't be the one for you probably. But I don't know. I might give an altar call right now. I don't know. I don't know. We might take four offerings. No, I'm just kidding. Everybody broke out in a cold sweat right there. Hallelujah. Just kidding about that. But in other words, we just want God to be God. Amen. And so there's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit. And God gave Jerry Savelle, he gave him a phrase. And he said this. He said, well, let me just kind of give you the groundwork first. He said, son, he said, some people know me as Savior. He said, some people know me as Lord. Some people know me, I'm talking about Jesus was talking to Jezebel in a time of prayer and fasting. And he said, some people even know me as healer. He said, but most people don't know me as the God of the breakthrough. Hallelujah, I felt that. I felt something go all through me right there. Hallelujah. You better get ready. Breakthrough's coming in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know what kind of situation you may be facing. I don't know what lies the devil's been telling you, but I'm telling you, get ready. If you can believe it, breakthrough is coming in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Some of you ought to look at every situation that's been defying your God and begin to see that situation taken out of the way. And go ahead and prophesy to that situation. The God of the breakthrough is visiting my house. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Come on, we can see breakthrough in our finances. We can see breakthrough in our marriage. We can see breakthrough on the job. We can see breakthrough with our children. We can see breakthrough in our mind. Not because you are so good or you are so smart, but because we serve the God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And thank God, Ryan, he is still the God of the breakthrough. In fact, the Bible said, I'm just waiting on somebody to get in faith and say, okay, devil, you've been messing with me for long enough, but I declare to every demon, I serve the God of the breakthrough. He is the breaker. Come on, I hear the chains falling right now. I hear depression chains falling. I hear sickness chains falling. Come on, I hear those chains falling right now. I feel like we should have a party because chains are being destroyed right now. The anointing destroys the yoke and removes the burden. Come on, if you believe it, give your God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shoo. Come on, I hear those chains falling. Come on, don't look at this like another church service. I hear those chains falling. Hallelujah, falling off of people's minds. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, falling off of people's eyes. Falling off of people's hearts. Falling off of people's message. Come on, you got marriages. You got to see this on the inside. I see the chains falling. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I heard the Lord say, I'm going to take off the chain so you can dream again. I'm going to take off the chain so you can dream again. Hallelujah. He said, Jerry, he said, many people don't know me as the God of the breakthrough. He said, that's why they give up so easy. Because if they knew me as the God of the breakthrough, they wouldn't give up so easy. Hallelujah. The Bible said, he that the Son sets free is free indeed. We serve a God who everywhere he walked and everywhere he went, breakthrough followed. Breakthrough followed. Hallelujah. His arm is not too sharp. His arm is not too short, nor his power been quenched, but he is still the God of the breakthrough. This morning in Salinas, California, he is still the God of the breakthrough. How many of you have experienced a breakthrough in your life in the last 5 years? I'm asking you. And I'm asking you by the show of a hand, you've experienced some kind of breakthrough in the last 5 years. Well, go ahead and look around at all the hands. And behind every waving hand, there should be a grateful heart. I said, oh, Jesus, sometimes you got to remind yourself, wait a minute, devil. I do serve the God of the breakthrough. Because I remember, does anybody remember
when you didn't know how you were going to make it through. But the God of the breakthrough visited your house. Hallelujah. And here's what God told Jerry Savelle. He said, son, tell them that I am the God of the breakthrough, and if they'll believe me, I'll visit their house. I don't know about you. I'm tired of the devil trying to visit my house. I want the God of the breakthrough to not only visit my house, I want my house to be his habitation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, one more time. You've experienced God's breakthrough in your life in the last 5 years. Lift your hand. Lift them up. So the devil can see, so God can see, and so you can be reminded yourself. I hear the Lord say everybody's hand would be up if they really knew that behind the scenes I had already given them breakthrough. But now listen to me. Now, let your praise be in proportion to the breakthrough that you're believing for. Now let your praise be in proportion to the breakthrough you're believing for right now. Glory! 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 Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hey! Glory! Glory! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Come on, blind Bartimaeus cried out. Cried out. Cried out to the Lord. Come on, sometimes a little clap won't do it. Sometimes a small praise won't do it. Sometimes you gotta praise him to where every part of you believes. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, Paul and Silas praised until the breakthrough happened. Praised until the chains fell off. Praised until prison doors were open. Come on, one more time. Give your God a praise for the breakthrough you're believing for. Glory! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, oh, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bible says this. Testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That when you hear somebody else's testimony, it is the spirit of prophecy that you realize that that's available for you too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you have been healed in the last year
For real, like you've been healed of something in your body in the last year. Hallelujah. What were you healed of, sister? Mm-hmm. Wow. She said they tested her blood and it was 599. And yesterday they took it again and it was 130. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So that's the testimony of Jesus. Now that's the spirit of prophecy. That means healing's available. When a testimony hits the water, it's like waves going out. And those ripples can hit your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Something else, anybody else, something significant the Lord healed you of. Go ahead. Go ahead, go ahead. Wow. 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 Come on, she said she almost died at the point of stroke and heart attack, could not walk. God touched her body. She's walking and she's here today. Now, God, we declare that everything else that needs to be restored, we declare restoration in her family. We declare restoration in her body. We declare the good work that you have started, God, you are well able to complete it in Jesus' name. Come on, let's give God one more praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, I just heard the Lord say that that's available for somebody else where you feel like the enemy has come in like a flood. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard against it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's you. You feel like the enemy's coming like a flood. Lift your hand. I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare right now that the Lord, you are raising up a standard against the enemy in Jesus' name. Satan, we command you to stop in your maneuvers and cease in your operations. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we declare freedom. We declare the Lord raises up a standard against it. And we declare overwhelming victory in the name of Jesus. We declare the God of the breakthrough is visiting your house in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, if you believe it, one more time, give God a praise in here this morning. Hallelujah. Well, you can be seated if you can. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm probably not going to get through more than a quarter of my message, but we're going to do what we can in 11 minutes. Hallelujah. Come on, are you glad to be in God's house this morning? Hallelujah. Started a message last week called Dream Again. Dream Again. And so much I'd like to get to that I don't know that I'll be able to, but Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we can ask or think." Now, in the Amplified, I love it. It says, "Now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly." Someone say super abundantly. More than, yeah, super abundantly more than we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams. Someone shout dreams. According to his power that is at work in us. Now, when I'm talking about dreams, I'm not talking about dreams you have at night necessarily. I'm really talking about dreams of the heart. Dreams that God places in your heart for your life. It's really God's plan, purpose, and destiny for your life. He will give you that dream for your life that is far beyond yourself, far greater than anything you could accomplish on your own. If you understand what I'm saying, somebody say amen. Amen. Now, notice it says there that God will do super abundantly, more, exceeding abundantly above all that you dare ask, dream, or imagine. Ask, dream, or imagine. Now, dream and imagine are very close. They're cousins, so to speak. They work together. That when you're imagining, you're dreaming, and when you're dreaming, you're imagining. Come on, somebody. Imagination is a very powerful thing. And listen, the enemy has tried to pervert the imagination, but God is the one who gave it to you. You know your mind thinks in pictures. Hallelujah. Your mind, good morning. Good morning. This is outstanding. Someone say outstanding. Outstanding. That when your mind thinks, it thinks in pictures. When I say dog, you don't see D-O-G. You see a picture of a dog. Right? When I say house, you don't see H-O-U-S-E. You see the picture of a house. Because God programmed us to imagine through pictures. This is why the devil will continually come at you and try to give you the wrong images and the wrong pictures, because he knows if it stays inside of you long enough, you'll produce it. Is this going to help anybody in here? Y'all thought I was coming with Reader's Digest. Come on, man. What's up, cousin? I don't know why you got all the height and I didn't. It's not fair. He's like 6'5". If I was 6'5", I'd be making millions in the NBA right now. Hallelujah. Now I'll just make millions in the kingdom. Come on, somebody. Come on. I mean, you don't make it. You know, God gives it to you, but you know what I mean. Okay. Read between the lines, people. Hallelujah. Come on. You all okay? Come on, man. Lighten up. Lighten up, or I'll tell more jokes. Offend more religious people. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be here this morning? Wow. So God programmed us to think in pictures. That's why many times in the presence of God, he'll give you a picture on the inside. He'll give you a picture of you laying hands on somebody and them receiving their healing. He'll give you a picture of you, him giving you the wisdom to go share with somebody and that's setting them free. He'll give you the picture of your family moving out of Section 8 into a place of prosperity. He'll give you the picture of a burning relationship with him in prayer and in worship to where you can't even, it's no longer a boring thing. It's something you burn for. Come on, somebody. He'll give you the picture of a brighter tomorrow. And he places these pictures in you in worship when you're reading the word, when you're in his presence. He shows you pictures of who he is and it mesmerizes you. Because he knows if you start getting those images on the inside and allowing God to develop them, that you will produce them in your life. Your spirit is a producer. Your heart is a factory that will produce whatever seed you put inside of it. That's why the Bible calls you a garden. The Bible calls you a garden. You are God's garden that he is supposed to be putting his seed into you. His seed will produce dreams on the inside of you. The devil's seed will produce nightmares on the inside of you. And whatever you allow to stay there is what your life will produce. My son, give attention to my word. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they, my words, are life to those who find them. They are medicine to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it flow the issues of life. Your heart produces your life. Not my words. The word of God. Jesus said, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart will produce good things. Come on, man. Is this too deep for you? It's just Bible. Just Bible. This is why the enemy is constantly trying to come into your thoughts and give you pictures of it going down, it not working out, no breakthrough, no change, no transformation. God's blessing's not coming to you. Come on, somebody. And he'll try to work through your situation and through your circumstance and just bring these thoughts. Do you realize there is a tape recorder going on in your mind all day, good or bad? All you got to do to be defeated is just wake up and do nothing. Because the Bible says your mind is at enmity. You see, y'all don't like Bible. Y'all like church stuff, but y'all don't like Bible. Like,
I just want people to read the Bible. And when I quote the Bible to them, I want them to go, yes, that is true. Not like, like, Pastor, you said something negative. No, it's not negative. It's truth. Truth sets free. That we can't allow garbage to stay there. We do understand this. The Bible says you must renew your mind. Right? You be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2. So something's got to be done with your mind. Your mind is at war against God. Each day you've got to renew your mind to where now you say, I have the mind of Christ. So is it the mind of Christ, or do you have to renew your mind? You have the mind of Christ, but if you don't renew it to the mind of Christ, you'll walk around with a mind that's at war against God. So, dreams come from the seed of the Word of God, from the seed of the presence of God. God begins to paint an image of you, victorious, anointed, called, chosen, living with expectation that the God of the breakthrough is in your today and in your tomorrow, a vision of victory and His presence. He will paint. Come on, how many of you know what I'm saying? How many of you know God will show up right in the middle of a horrible situation and call you a mighty man of valor? This is God. He gives dreams. In the middle of difficult times and good times, God is a dreamer, and He's looking for those who will dream with Him. Come on, if you believe it, say amen. So Genesis 11:6 tells us that God looked down upon the Tower of Babel and those that were there. Bible says they were of one mind, they had one language, and they said to themselves, let us build a tower that will reach heaven. And the Bible says that God looked down upon them and He says, whatever they imagine they can do, nothing will be impossible to them. That's what He said. Someone say imagine. When you imagine, when you, there's power in imagination, even for unsaved people. Einstein said that he had a thinking chair where he would just go and think. When's the last time you just found somewhere you could go think? Not be beat up in your mind, but you go think on purpose. Now, I'm not, I just asked this question because probably none of us, right? Like, there's these millionaires, and they all, you know, they're all into this, like, you know, humanism and all that kind of stuff. And they you know, think your way positive. And I'm not talking about none of that. I'm giving you an example of power of unsaved people. They have tapped into the power of God giving them an imagination. They're not using it for His glory, but they're still, come on, somebody. There's still power in it. Well, if unsaved people can use their imagination and see good things happen, how much more can the child of God? You said nothing that they imagine, nothing that they dream will be impossible. Imagination is a powerful thing. Paul tells us, 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every imagination and high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So some imaginations that come from the devil are to be cast down by faith. When he says you're not going to make it, say, no, I cast that down. If God be for me, who can be against me? When he says you're not going to be healed, say, no, I cast that down. He bore my sicknesses, carried away my pains, and by his stripes I am healed. When he says, where's the next check going to come from? You're broke. You're always going to be broke. You're on Section 8. Or you just lost $1 million and you're going to be broke for the rest of your life. Say, no, shut up, devil. I cast that imagination down. My God shall meet all my needs according to his riches and glory. Come on, when he says, I'm going to kill you and your family, say, shut up, devil. No weapon formed against me is going to be able to prosper. And every tongue that rises against me, I will condemn. Come on, somebody shout, yeah. Jeremiah says that some things need to be rooted out, plucked up, and torn down. And then you plant and build. Hallelujah. This week we tear things down. We tear down imaginations that are not of God. Come on, when those thoughts come, we tear them down. And the way we take thoughts captives is with our words. Amen? Words are more powerful than imagination. And when you get your words in line with God's imagination, watch out, because you're going to end up having what you say.
Need scripture for that one too. Mark 11:23. Have faith in God. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed, cast yourself into the sea, and shall not doubt it, but believe those things that he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever things he saith. That's Jesus talking, not me. Come on. Proverbs 18:21. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And I could wear you out with scriptures that prove this, but what I'm telling you is our mouth should be lining up with God's word. Amen. And we use our words to take thoughts captive and cast them down. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, some things have turned into strongholds. You have that scripture? Second Corinthians. Is this helping anybody?
Yes.
2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. For the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down. Notice they're going to pull some stuff down. Hallelujah. Pull down strongholds. This week, if we will allow the Holy Spirit to help us, every time those thoughts try to come, we can pull down strongholds. Now, go ahead to the next verse. Notice this. Casting down arguments or imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So then, starts as a thought. If we don't cast it down, it turns into a high thing. And if we don't cast it down then, it can turn into an imagination or a stronghold. So if something's turned into a stronghold, it may take a little bit more time and more truth, more word working on that. But if we'll work on it, when I say work on it, there are... Is this helping anybody? There are strongholds in people's diets. Oh, geez, I've been trying to lose weight for 17 years. Like the woman with the spirit of infirmity. No, you're not. Don't say that. Don't say that. There was another guy that had something for 38 years. We don't want to be him either. Hallelujah. But there are strongholds as it pertains to people's physical bodies, people being able to lose weight or not able to lose weight, people's mentality or mental well-being, people's soul. The devil wants strongholds because if he can get in your mind, he can try to control different parts of who you are. The good news is that no matter what, someone say no matter what, no matter if it's a thought, if it's a high thing, if it's an imagination or a stronghold, every level, the Bible says, we have weapons that tear them down. Can I tell you what those weapons are? The helmet of salvation. The breastplate of righteousness. The belt of truth. The gospel shoes of peace. Come on, the shield of faith. And the sword of the Spirit that is the Word of God. So if there's a stronghold in the area of identity or insecurity or self-worth, but really the way someone sees themselves. They see themselves as ugly, but everybody else sees them as beautiful. Come on, somebody. Y'all don't want to get real? I know he was going to go there. I mean, it's a little sensitive. I mean, but that's where God wants to heal. Come on, somebody. And I'm up here preaching to myself, man. There are years of my life when I'm operating in my identity, there's no problem as it pertains to insecurity or self-worth. But if I get away from that identity in Christ, all of a sudden I fight battles that I wasn't fighting before. And so God says, Jason, you've got to work on now who you are in Christ and your identity again so that, you know, certain truths have to be strengthened. Paul wrote to the churches and says, I'm writing to you to strengthen the core beliefs that I put in you when I was there. Faith must be fed. Come on, somebody. That's why the Bible says there's weak faith, little faith, strong faith, great faith. Come on, are you with me? So if there's an issue, whether it be in your self-worth, whether it be in your physical body, wanting to lose weight, financial, whatever, there's a stronghold of poverty, whatever the case may be. If there's a stronghold in your mind, then you find scriptures that promise you. You find the promises of God that promise you prosperity, that promise you, that declare to you that you are beautifully and wonderfully made, that say you can do all things. Wait a minute, you can't lose weight? Wait a second. Yes, I can. I can do all things through Christ. And you start saying that my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You find scriptures that promise you the victory over the stronghold. And then you work on those things day in and day out. You write them out and you start saying them out. Come on, somebody. And you'll find that as you start looking at these promises and declaring these promises, God begins to place a dream on the inside of you about you being in a place you've never been before. Amen? Amen. All right, last thing. It's really not. I think I got through like four lines of my notes. But, amen, we got to go. There's a whole other group that have to come. Amen. So when you leave, just hurry out of the parking lot. Don't pay attention to any limp. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Take your time. Come on, take your time. Be courteous. Be loving. Amen. Come on, we're Christians in the parking lot too. Hallelujah. I love the Lord. Then you get on the parking lot. Sha-ta-ta. We got to pray for you. Hallelujah. Come on, man. Be loving to everybody. Amen. It'll bless your life. It'll bless your life. All right. So then, last thing here. I love this. If you don't have a dream, then you get into God's presence. Some of you might want to stay for the third service, and maybe I'll get to this, because some of this is going to be absolutely vital to us living in the dream. I don't know about y'all. I want to live in God's dream for my life, living in the dream that God, because there's no way. But let me give you a couple of more things here. If you don't have a dream, get into the presence of God. Get into the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So you get into his word, and he begins to paint an image on the inside of you of his dream for your life. Have you ever had God show you a snapshot of what could be? Come on. Okay. It's real. It's real. You got to keep the dream alive. And I said this last week. Sometimes the dream doesn't all come at once. The dream of God for your life is progressive. He'll show you snapshots of what the future is going to look like, and it will motivate you. But then you nurture that dream. You begin to declare the dream, not in front of people. Come on, people think you're crazy. Come on, somebody. You know, Joseph started declaring the dream in front of his brothers, and his brothers hated him so much they sold him into slavery. Okay? It's not wisdom to spout your dream to everybody you meet, but say it every day when you're by yourself. Come on, declare it on the way to work, on the way home. Declare your dream. Declare God's dream over your family, over your household, over this city. Come on, somebody. Amen. You know, I've heard this said before. You've heard it said before. But if you say nothing, then that's what you get. You lose by default. How many of you know it's so easy to say, okay, yeah, so just declare the dream. But it's a lot harder to do that when you've been declaring it for 3 years or 4 years and haven't seen it come to pass yet. Those that believe will continue to declare it. Hear me, and they will see the fulfillment of that dream. I also want to say this. Happiness is not relegated to when the dream come to pass. Joy and happiness, listen to me. The dream of God is progressive, and it is incremental. This is good stuff. I don't know who I'm helping, but I think I'm helping somebody because I'm helping myself. I feel right now that we're operating in a vein of revelation that is beyond myself, because God's bringing stuff through me that I don't even know with my own intellect. Revelation begins to come, and this is revelation that maybe I've said before by the Holy Spirit, but it's not something I walk around with every day, all day, on the inside of my intellect. So this is God ministering beyond myself. Come on, if you believe it, say amen. Amen. The dream of God is progressive, and it's incremental. And it's important for you to have a dream. Or you'll go to work, come home, go to sleep, go to work, come home, go to sleep. And the richest place in the world is the graveyard. Because that's where a lot of dreams, unbirthed dreams and unwritten songs are buried in the graveyard, so to speak. Because people got discouraged and didn't dream. And I want to tell you, the temptation comes to all of us to stop dreaming. But God created us to be people who dream in his presence. So the dream of God is incremental, and it is progressive. So we declare it, we believe it, We begin to walk it out, and it's incremental. Celebrate every step towards the dream of God that he's placed on the inside of you. Amen? Amen. Listen, if you're going to walk in God's dream, you're going to have to learn how to celebrate small victories. Celebrating small victories. You remember when you were a kid and you told your mom and dad, thank you? You came back, you did something nice, you came back and kissed them and hugged them and told them thank you after they did something nice for you. What'd it do to their heart? It opened their heart for them to want to do more for you. That's what us celebrating small victories that God brings into our life does for the Lord. It opens his heart and allows him to do more for us. Thanksgiving and celebrating small victories will allow God to do more in your life. All right, last thing. The Bible says, Jesus said, he said this. He said, if the blind lead the blind, both fall into the ditch. Is that what he said? He said about the hypocrites, and I call them hypocrites, but it's really Pharisees and Sadducees, or hypocrites. Oh, man. Some of you got it. Hallelujah. Jesus said this about them. Oh, man. I think that many times in the church, we're entirely too soft in that we get hurt, we get offended. And I don't judge, because when I was younger, I would go, how can they be so sensitive? As I have faced a few things in life, I realize how people can be so sensitive. I still don't think it's right, but at least I understand it. Come on, somebody. So I understand how it's easy to be sensitive, but I don't believe God created us to be that way. I believe God created us to walk in such a love of God to where every wrong thing said about us just rolls off our back like water off a duck's back, to where we believe the best. Come on, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is long-suffering. Love doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. Amen. Love does not behave rudely. Love is not self-seeking, but love believes the best, hopes the best, and love endures all things, believes all things, and love never fails. Come on, somebody. Love never fails. But I think that at times we all have the temptation to be too soft, and because Jesus just showed up to him and said, you bunch of whitewashed tombs. Who'd you hear that from? Your father, the devil? That's what he said. That's what he said. How many of you know sometimes encouragement is needed? Other times, correction is needed. This is what he said. He said, if the religious people, look at me, we don't want to be religious. We want to be alive in Jesus. I don't believe in organized religion. I don't either, but I do believe in the body of Christ. I do believe in Jesus. I do believe in his church. I don't want to be religious. I want to be so full of God's life that when other people come around me, they sense God. He said, if the religious people lead the unsaved people, if the blind lead the blind, both of them fall into the ditch. Listen to me. Who's leading you? Who are you around? Because he's not saying blind physically. He was talking about being blind spiritually. What is spiritual eyesight? It is revelation. It is a dream from God. If I get a dream from God, then I have spiritual eyesight. If I get revelation from God, I have spiritual eyesight. Come on, somebody. And this is what he said right before that. So a dream from God gives me spiritual eyesight. This is why some people can walk through difficulty and other people cannot. Because some people truly have a dream and revelation from God, and other people have been so beaten down by life that they can no longer see. There is no condemnation. We're not judging that, because we've probably all been there at one time or another. Somebody say amen. But the good news is we don't have to be blind. And here's what Jesus said right before this, Ryan. He said, every plant that my Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Every plant. That's what the Bible says about Satan, that he cometh and he scatters seed and he goeth away. Isn't that what he said? That's what the Bible said. Satan comes, scatters seed, and he goeth away. Because he knows if they don't do something about that seed, then weeds are going to grow, tares are going to grow up with the wheat. But I believe this morning, the reason why the Lord drew my attention to that verse, hear me, is because the Lord wants to uproot what the devil tried to plant. The devil tried to plant some things, whether it be in the mind and the emotions and situations. But I believe if you can wrap your faith around it, we can declare it all week long, as much as the Lord brings it to you. Some of you might even want to write it down. It's a prophetic word. That the things that the devil has tried to plant, God is rooting up. Hallelujah. Come on, you feel the weight on that? I feel the weight on that. Hallelujah. The things the devil has tried to plant, God is rooting up. In marriages, in emotions, in minds, in bodies, in finances, where the devil has tried to plant, God is rooting it up. In every plant that my Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Hallelujah. I love it because there's not even any roots left. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare and we believe that right now, I sense the anointing. Right now, things that have been planted by the devil are being uprooted in Jesus' name. Uprooted. Every seed, be uprooted in the name of Jesus. Whatsoever things you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever things you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Devil, I bind you and I command you to stop. And I command roots, loose them and let them go in Jesus' name. Be uprooted in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, if you believe it, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Those of you that have something uprooted in the next weeks and months, I want you to brag on God. Get on our website or get on our church app, or just come and write it on a brag on God card in the seat back. But come on, it can't just be me declaring it. It's got to be God's people believing it. Amen. And I believe, hallelujah, I believe we are going to see the works of the enemy being uprooted in Jesus' name. Come on, anybody else believe that? Hallelujah. Come on, if you'll bow your heads and close your eyes. Jesus, we thank you. We praise you for your presence. I thank you for what you've done in this place. I give you the glory. I give you the honor, sir. Hallelujah. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, on the count of three, I want you to lift your hand. His presence is here. He's here to minister to you. Secondly, say, I've known Jesus, but I'm far from him. I need to get some things right. On the count of three, that's you. I want you to lift your hand and we'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Either one of those invitations. One, two, three. Lift them up. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Anybody else says yes? Yes, thank you. Thank you. Anybody else says yes, that's me. Yes, thank you. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for every hand raised, every life. Come on, let's pray this prayer together. Say this. Say, Father God, forgive me of my sin. I believe Jesus Christ died and was raised for my salvation. I confess Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. Thank you for your dream for my life coming to pass, being fulfilled. I will run my race, finish my course with joy in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's rejoice.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.